you'll find them in skin creams, washing machines, computer chips, golf balls, and bowling balls, bed sheets, even cigarette butts. But you probably never heard of them, and you definitely never saw them. They're nanoparticles, and they're measured in billionths of a meter. They make golf balls go straighter, sunscreen block better, pants stay wrinkle and stain-free, and they may even hold a cure for cancer. Some say nanotechnology is the new industrial revolution, but are we ready for its promise and potential problems? Well, joining me to discuss the issue is Dr. Andrew Maynard. He is science advisor to the Woodrow Wilson Center's Project on Emerging Nanotechnologies in Washington, D.C. Dr. Maynard, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
I'm looking at this list that I got from the latest issue of Consumer Reports that has a list of 475 products that use nanotechnology. They're in bug spray, light-emitting diodes, kids' teapots, toothbrushes. There are $50 billion worth of products that contain nanotechnology. And they estimate by, 2014, it's going to be $2.6 trillion worth of products?
That's right, yes. Which makes it worth about one-fifth of all the manufactured products around the world by 2014.
So are we ready?
Very good question. I'm not sure we're as ready as we would like to be for this. Now, there is something very positive here. In almost every other technological revolution that we've experienced, we have patently not been ready. We have developed the technology, then we've had to face the consequences of not thinking through the risks. Nanotechnology is different, I believe. We're actually there at a very early stage thinking about the risks. So although we may not be as far ahead as we would like to be, at least we're thinking about how to develop this technology safely before it actually hits the streets in any great amount.
It's kind of like the old notion, look before you leap.
Very much so. And it seems to be common sense. If you're going to produce something new that behaves differently, at least look ahead and see where the problems are going to be and how you're actually going to navigate around them.
So going forward, how would you like to see nanotechnology regulated and introduced to the public?
Well, the first thing we've got to do is to get the science right. Any regulation that comes along has got to be founded on sound science. And that means carrying out more research, but also carrying out the right research. It requires a strategic research plan, so we're asking the right questions, and we're getting the answers that industry and regulators and even consumers can use to make the right decisions. When we go beyond there, though, we've actually got to develop regulation which is effective, not only effective at protecting people and the environment, but also effective at stimulating new business. And this is important because if we don't get regulation right, business are just going to be uncertain about what they do to ensure the safety of their products, consumers are going to be uncertain about how safe the products are, and people aren't going to buy into the nanotechnology revolution.
What's the most unusual product that you've heard of nanotechnology being used in?
Well, actually, I can think of one particularly unusual product. That is, there is a nanotech-based contraceptive which is on the market in China. Referred to as the nano condom. And it's a contraceptive because it uses nanometer-sized particles of silver. There are many other very interesting products out there. But what is fascinating is what you can do with nanotechnology. Now we've got the scientific dexterity to manipulate things at such a small scale. You can take almost any conventional technology and make it better. And that's tremendously exciting. So think about everything around you which doesn't work as well as you would like it to work. Nanotechnology can fix a lot of those problems.
Is it an overstatement to say that this is the beginning of a new industrial revolution?
Well, I believe it is, although only time will tell for sure. But it's a potential revolution or a revolution in waiting. And what is very clear is that it will not happen if we don't get the health and safety aspects right at an early stage.
When you talk about industrial scale nanotechnology, of course, then you're talking about workers and worker safety, and they're going to be exposed or potentially exposed to these products.
That's right. They're going to be in the front line. And many of these engineered nanomaterials, which we're looking at putting into materials, once they're into the product, they're probably fairly safe, certainly to the consumer. But to the workers that put them in, they have to deal with powders, they need to deal with liquids and suspensions. So there's quite a lot of chance that they'll get exposed to these materials.
So are the workplace regulations in place now?
There are no specific nanotechnology workplace regulations, but there are a lot of movements to try and develop guidelines for ensuring the safety of workers in nanotech workplaces. So, for instance, two things that are happening. If you look at industry, industry have realized that it's their responsibility to get this right, and there are a number of guidelines on how you might approach safe workplaces for nanotechnology at the moment. One in particular comes from the company DuPont, who have partnered with the organization Environmental Defense to put together a draft framework for working safely with nanomaterials. What is also happening is that the government agency NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, have been very active in both finding out what is happening in the workplace and helping individual companies develop an understanding of where the potential risks might be and how to reduce those risks as they work with nanomaterials.
So, Dr. Maynard, looking ahead, what might we see coming from the government in terms of regulations?
Well, in the short term, we're very likely to see a voluntary program from EPA. And this will be a program where they work with industry for industry to tell the agency what they're doing with nanomaterials, what types of materials they're producing, what they're doing to understand the potential risks and manage those risks. That will be the first step, and is likely to happen towards the end of this year, beginning of next year. Beyond that, EPA, FDA, other agencies are going through internal reviews at the moment to see how they perceive the adequacy of current regulations and to see whether these regulations either do need to be adjusted or reapplied or even changed substantially for nanotechnology. And I think we're going to see the results of that process emerge over the next 1 to 2 years, especially as groups outside the EPA continue to analyze and assess the current situation and make recommendations on where it needs to change.
It's a tremendously exciting field.
Oh, it is. It's a wonderful field to be part of. And it's the feeling that you're actually at the beginning of something new and you're in a position where you can make a difference. So you have a technology which is beneficial at the same time as understanding the risks and minimizing them proactively. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Dr. Maynard, did you ever see the movie Fantastic Voyage with Jane Fonda?
Of course I did.
It's a great movie, huh?
It was indeed. Whether nanotechnology will actually get to that stage, it's unlikely, but I'll tell you something. That concept of shrinking things down that can do multiple things, can seek out damaged cells or cancers or viruses and destroy them, that is very much a reality of nanotechnology. Maybe we won't be going around the body in submarines, but certainly we'll be putting these little things into bodies that can seek out and destroy the harmful cells.
Well, Dr. Maynard, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.